SD HIST has a busy 2024 convention schedule. First, on June 8th, we have a 20-hour convention online that starts in the morning in Europe and goes through to the evening in California. In August, we have our convention in Newport, Rhode Island at the U.S. Navy War College Museum. And then again in November, we have a convention in San Diego, the traditional SD HIST Con. As part of the preparation for these conventions, I thought it would be useful to interview some of the big thinkers and designers and personalities that will be coming to the convention. Mark Herman is an SD HIST standard. He's been to most, if not all, of the face-to-face conventions. He's always on the online convention, always has something interesting to show us or to say. And so this is an interview with Mark to discuss what he's bringing to the next couple of conventions.
Now, Defiance does have a vassal set, so I was going to have it at the convention.
Excellent.
I will have Rebel Fury at the convention, just not the follow-on.
Okay, good. So Defiance is the war in the Ukraine?
The first couple of months, yes.
Yes. Okay, good. And that's your work with your good friend, David Doctor.
Yep.
And then Rebel Fury, of course, you and I have played and we saw in D.C. and has been just, I've heard rave reviews over it. So that I think people will be.
Well, I tell you, it's funny. I really wanted to do a game. I hope you're recording now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So I really wanted to, look, there are games that I've done that I feel people admire more than they play, which is fine, they get you rewards and it gets you, but I really wanted to get a game that people, and I want to play, that I'm enjoying, I'm having a great time. And as you saw, the game, you sit down, you play the game, you finish it, and it's not like, you have a missed football. You start after, my thing is you start at 1, and you're still watching football at 4, And you played a real game. And I'm very happy with how, it came out exactly, sometimes it really did come out exactly the way I wanted it to. It's very playable. I just went over all of the questions. There's no errata to the game. I mean, people don't want to believe what they're reading. That I can't, it's so different from what, it's so different. Yeah, I mean, it's got counters, it's hexagons, it's got shooting, it's not that different. But the way in which those things happen is not, they keep asking me questions like, well, in these other 30 games I played, that's how it is. I'm going to stop, I'm not responsible for what you remember.
Yeah.
We're all
scarred by it, which was what makes it hard when you decide to do innovation and we try to follow along.
To be fair, there was a time. So, when I say a time, so this is me at 22. Redmond, we had such an installed base on the classic move, move all your units, fight all your battles, your turn kind of games, that Redmond wrote a generic set of rules and typeset them. We had this generic set of rules that he was trying to write unified theory of war game rules. And technically you could take any game, the idea was you could take any, it was like a quad game. You could take any game, slap on, get a map, slap on some counters and boom, you're on your way to a game. And that's fine. And you could do that because you had this installed base of people who understood that. Now, that was when I was 22. I'm going to be 70. That was a long damn time ago. And so the installed base only got more set in stone and more stuff behind them. So I come along and say, look, I want to just redo all this stuff. And they're just like, but, and to be fair, they're handling it. They take it well. They say, did you really mean this? It's really, the questions are more, do you really mean this? Is this what, I'm only asking because I'm not sure, but it's not like the rule is not correct. And I just keep quoting rules and explaining to them. And it's fine. It's been interesting, but people are playing it. And I heard that at the GMT West, Steve Carey reported that it was a lot of people were playing it and everybody bought a copy. So that's a great sign. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, no. What more can you ask
This is my J.K. Rowling moment. This could be the 10 million copies I've been always wanting to sell.
You know, Mark,
Everyone there in the same face, by
the thing, you know, one of the thing that kind of breaks through with that system is, you know, historically we've always given units a, but you know, it's both the command and control and the movement, right? And that your movement allowance historically has been a fixed amount, right? And then you go and I go, and then we, you know, we kind of exchange in that currency. But in your game, we can move back and forth forever if we chose to. And it's, and the thing that impacts your
Or
movement is
being a
when
relative term. I mean, there is a there it
I,
ultimately
no,
does.
yeah, and
I
I'm
just want
not
to make sure people go, really forever? No, but you can go as long as you kind of want, more
Yeah,
or
no,
less.
you can be flip. I'm not being flippant. And frankly, you know, if I want to end the movement, I can say, okay, I'm done. So you know, you've got a little tail to clean up, but I'm finished. So, but the beauty of it is that you know, the thing that really governs movement is proximity to the enemy,
Yeah, exactly. And
which is
that is the
brilliant.
truth.
It's brilliant.
Thanks.
Why didn't we think of this before, Mark?
I'm just slow. It took me a long time to figure it out. But to be clear, the thing, so the challenge, so I started this project with a challenge of how do I do Chancellorsville, which is a very complex battle, by the way. It's really like three battles. It's like over. Remember, by the way, this is the anniversary of the battle right now. The turning movement started around April 24th, and the famous, Jackson, flank attack on the 11th Corps and all this stuff. That's like the May 2nd and 3rd, which is just coming up in another couple of days. So we're in the middle of Chancellorsville right now.
And by the way, I also want to recognize that your wedding anniversary and my wedding anniversary
Monday
also
the 3rd.
happens to be within that window.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? A chance the thing that makes the game actually sing and do all of the historical stuff without any special rules is the HQs getting into asymmetric alignment with each other. In other words, one guy doesn't, some of the scenarios start, you start in battle mode, and you don't automatically come out of battle mode. You got to roll. Now, the better the leader, the more obvious he's going to get out, but people roll zeros. Now, in fact, it happens so often in playtests. I put a thing, and I always hate that when you just keep like in a game where, you have this thing to do, and you have to roll like it's a 50-50 die roll, and you do it like three turns in a row. It doesn't work any time. You just keep not making the die roll. And I always felt like, if I'm digging a ditch, right? Even if I fail to complete the ditch in the first try, there's still something happening here. The hole is starting to form. And so I always like to add if I have a repetitive process that's probabilistic, I always add a die modifier for the second try. That's been used 100 million times.
Yeah,
But I
it's a
like
great idea.
that method. So in this game, you can never be in battle mode for more than two turns. Which the worst that can happen is one day gets lost, but you're in battle mode. You can still fight and everything, but you don't get a lot of maneuver going on because you guys dig in and they just get in the moving again. It's that. And what ends up happening is, when the two HQs get out of alignment, and it could be a strategy in the game, now you can get Jackson's flank march. In other words, the Union goes into sort of a defensive crouch, and all of a sudden, Jackson and Lee are not, or Jackson, Lee's in a battle mode, but Jackson's not, and all of a sudden, you can all of a sudden do a maneuver on somebody. And that happens without, it's organic, right? It doesn't happen. So going into battle mode gives you advantages, but if you have a crummy general, going into battle mode can be a problem if you're not careful. And that's great.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. It's
Yeah,
awesome.
so in its essential position. Anyways, in the game, it just that was the secret sauce. In fact, I'm writing an article for C3I magazine, which I'll finish sometime during the summer, but that's like a point I'm trying to make. And there's a lot of other little subtleties about the game. Like that. So, I really feel like I got a lot of mileage out of basically four rules.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's elegant, and it's what we expect of, from a 70-year-old Mark Herman.
There you go. It's about time. Now, Defiance, on the other hand, is turning into quite an interesting game. It started out with Flashpoint Golan, but I did Flashpoint Golan in the 90s, and while many people were happy with it the way they liked Flashpoint Golan, they were happy with it the way it was. But it's not the game that I wanted. I mean, the bones are Flashpoint Golan, but I tore out the combat system, the stacking rules, momentum. I mean, the whole HQ system, it's still approximately like it, but it's much more streamlined, it's much more effective, and as a consequence, the game is really starting to sing in a way that I like. So I'm starting to, like when I w the earlier, I always tell people I can't publish a game until I'm addicted to it. And in the earlier version, yeah, play, but it was like, it wasn't doing it for me. Now, all of a sudden, it's starting to sing. I'm saying, oh, I want to play this now. That's my first sign that I'm getting into the right place. And it's still good.
One of the differences between the two is, I recall Flashpoint Golan was a hypothetical of at the time, a future era of Israeli conflict in the Golan Heights, right? Whereas this is set to simulate an actual conflict, which is a different.
Correct. But the thing that Flashpoint, so when I was working in the Pentagon for the, I mean, you saw the Gulf War, obviously, what happened, right? We had been, I'm going to try to compress a lot. So in the late 70s, the Soviets then, they were Soviets, wrote this thing about reconnaissance strike complexes and how the ability to move information directly to weapons was changing the speed and the lethality of combat. And they wrote about it, but they couldn't do it. They just wrote about it. And then we saw it, we went, wait a minute, that's a really great idea. And I think maybe we could do it. We call it the Revolution of Military Affairs. And I worked on that for the 1980s. This is what I was working, in the background, this is what I was always working on. Flashpoint Golan was designed to show how the Revolution of Military Affairs would work. And so it already handled the forward-looking 21st century warfare. So when there, and I got approached by multiple people to do this, Ukraine game, and I was only interested from a very, as a historian, I wanted to write the first draft of history. So everybody says, well, it's too soon and all this. The answer is, people are writing articles in journals, they're writing strategy articles, they're publishing. I got three books published on it with strategy and what's going on. And so I'm just doing the equivalent of a book of something that is very recent history. And yes, the war is still going on. But as I wrote in my book that's going to get published, the problem is that when I was writing that in the book about strategic will, if the Russians keep passing their strategic will die roll, ultimately wars are won by the guy with the last battalion. And there's a lot more Russian battalions ultimately.
Yeah.
And so the Ukrainians have done brave, phenomenal fighting. We've given them a lot of help. We're still giving them help. But I think ultimately, there has to be some kind of setback, which the Russians are not experiencing right now, other than they're fighting a war, they're getting hurt, but they're not getting hurt enough. And Putin's a grasp on power is so strong that this war goes on until he wins or something else happens. Like, the Poles decide to come into the, like NATO all of a sudden enters the war, and the Russians go, okay, we can't win this thing now. So this thing is a long ways from done. And so I think understanding the beginning of it is important, because you don't, you look at those guys on TV pointing at maps and talking about this, but it makes no sense until you actually play out the game. Now, of course, like what Volko had with Labyrinth, there'll be a solitaire mode for the Russians. So you don't have to be the Russians if you don't want to be the Russians. I will not have a solitaire mode for the Ukrainians. It'll just be for the Russians. So you can just sort of like let them roll down the roads, and you can do what you can to stop them. But what's happening is the game is reproducing the history with now without any special rules. It's just working. I mean, it's just really, and I'm looking at the book and I'm playing the game and going, hey, this is capturing this. And I think that that's what war games do best. It lets you interact with the information in a way that you can't do just from a book or a newspaper. And by the way, I come from a tradition, this I don't know what this attitude, this too soon attitude, At SPI, a guy, a rifleman did grunt during the Vietnam War. There was Sinai was happening right during the Sinai, the 1973 war. So I come from a tradition that this is not something I've done this before, and Gulf Strike, I was even ahead of the curve, and then there was a war, and I was all over the news and TV for a while because of that game. So I worked in the Pentagon where we were doing the real deal all the time. So the folks who are uncomfortable about it, you know what? If you're uncomfortable, there are a million other things you could be doing, and you don't have to do this. And if you want to sit there and complain on, you have the right to write whatever you like peaceful protesting, which I've seen very little of lately. You can say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm doing it. It's and I don't need to meet anybody else's expectations but my own. But I am a historian writing history. Remember, by the time this game comes out, the thing I'm going to be simulating would have happened 3 years ago. I mean, it's not like it happened yesterday. And trying to understand where this thing began might give you a sense of where it's going. That when it actually gets published, you might learn something about why it's not going to end so easily. So anyway, that's Defiance.
Flashpoint Golan had, as I recall, the was it divisional headquarters had tremendous capabilities. Is
And you do here also.
will that be the same here?
Yeah, but what I've done is I found, so I think that yes, the answer is yes. So when you activate a formation, an HQ, and this is what I finally remember, that the time scale is only 3 days, and I've gotten a better sense of what and remember what the Israelis could do versus an Arab force in the Golan is different from what the Ukrainians and the Russians are capable of. So you have, and so a lot of capabilities, and I've also gained a lot of knowledge, since 1990, about this topic. So a lot of things are, when HQ activates, you will use an HQ, but they don't have that many pontoon bridges. And I found out just from playtesting, you only have to build, in fact, during the actual war, there was only, as far as we can tell, there was only one pontoon bridge built by the Russians during this conflict. They captured a lot of bridges, or they could get over the rivers, whatever, but it was only one. So having the ability to build 30 pontoon bridges doesn't make any sense, which then calmed the game down, made you make harder choices, but you get to do it every turn. So, every 3 days you could build another bridge if that's what you wanted. And we also they also the Russians and even the Ukrainians have a lot of combat engineers. So a lot of that got incorporated into the pieces themselves. So that came out of the game. And how I handle jamming, and also the other thing is what's hap also changed is before in Flashpoint Golan, the air superiority level determined how much you could see, what you could detect, how good you were at that. In this world, now that was 1990, that's 30, it's 30 years ago. Now pretty much anything that moves on the you watch YouTube and Twitter, and I mean if anything moves on the battlefield, it's seen and they start shooting at it. And that's a real, so I that kills the whole detection system. Is just it's automatic. Somebody, you can just shoot at somebody. If they move, you can shoot at them. Now they can counter battery, so it becomes, and also I think I've improved how artillery interacts on the battlefield over Flashpoint Golan. So I think, because if you read the accounts, I mean, this is the advantage of my actually working on a game like this. So the Ukrainians had two artillery brigades, the 44th and the 26th. And apparently these artillerymen were very good, and they were decisive in stopping the Russians when they got close to Kyiv. And in the game, they have that role. And so, you get in range of artillery and, stuff's going to happen. So that you had that in Flashpoint Golan, but they didn't have artillery is more distributed in the Israeli and the Arab armies. These guys have got these brigades, and they just and the Russians have these military districts, which are like the same equivalent, just lots of guns. So there's just a much higher proportion. These armies have a lot more artillery per, battalion than the Israelis even had or the Arabs had. So there's a lot of shooting going on. That's another lesson I've learned from doing the game.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's teaching me a lot about what's going on there in a way that I just, and how Wave of Souls might work and defenses in urban centers, and it really game's really coming along nicely. But that's the thing, it's going to keep when you once you play this game, if you can get over the, if you, and some people don't even have that, aren't concerned, but if you can get over all that and you play it, you're also going to, when you watch what's really happening now, 3 years later, it's going to make a lot more sense to you, which is what, and an informed public is what you want.
No,
It's
that's
interesting.
these are important information sources for us as consumers of news, as important, as the term game almost diminishes that, but
No, this is a simulation. This is a war game, a war simulation. I like to think of it as, I like to think, because it's 3 years ago, it's in a way, it's a historical war game. It is historical. I mean, I've got the, and the order battle information we've got, now, I mean, I could go drag them out, but right behind me here, there's a whole pile of books and from journalists, and, they're naming units, and, it, and our order of battle is representative and how many casualties, so we're able to tune this thing. So there's a lot of, information and experiential things that you will get from playing this game. Now, would you think it was fun? I don't, it's not meant necessarily to be like, it's not, Carcassonne, it's not meant to be, it's not going to be a bestseller. I mean, Rebel Fury has a much better chance of, doing pretty well sales wise. Not that that's that terribly important, because I got what I wanted. I want to go to conventions and see people playing my game. Apparently, that's what's happening. That's what I wanted.
No,
So.
that's what we're seeing, right? It's what we saw in DC.
Yeah.
So, in summary, for the San Diego or for the online convention, June 8th, we can expect a demo of Rebel Fury. And
Yep.
a demo and discussion of Defiance.
Absolutely. That's my plan.
Good. Excellent.
And if I need to do something else, I can always throw, I always throw Empire of the Sun in and just goes, hey, what the hell?
Because everybody loves it. And then in August, we've got the War College, and you're going to bring the
I
follow
will
on.
have, I will definitely have a, I will, we'll talk about, I need 100 inches of table.
I think we can get you that.
There was room there. You could, we could do it, but that'll let people play like the whole, from Spotsylvania down to Richmond campaign. It
It's
looks
awesome.
great. It really, you've seen some of the pictures. It looks
I've
great.
seen the pictures. It looks incredible.
Yeah,
I've
it
never
looks
seen a game
fantastic.
like it, right? And that scale, that number of units, but this massive continuous map, it's just brilliant.
Yeah,
It's more innovation from our friend Mark Herman.
well, we got to give some credit here to Rick Barber also. I mean, he did a lot of the work. He did the pen work on this one.
Yeah, no
Although,
doubt.
I by the way, I finally have a young a friend's son wanted to intern for a game company, being i.e. mine. So I have my second intern ever, and I have him basically getting these period maps and putting the, the hex grid, the scale on the maps. And, and this requires a certain amount, this is what Rick was doing, and it requires a certain amount of, Illustrator or whatever, Adobe Illustrator or whatever, Photoshop, I don't know what, skills to do that. And he writes me a text message, he's, what is Charlie? Charlie is like 17. So he writes me a message, how do you do this? I said, I'm 70, I have no clue. And so to his credit, he, well, I don't know what he did, but he figured it out,
Good.
And now I'm getting these, he's like producing map after map for me with hex grids on them. And I just got to, I got to sit down and, and after I get back from England, I'm going to sit down and start, tracing them on a, hex grid. They're already in the hex grid, but I got to, color them in. I got to put them, I got to do terrain analysis. But the point is, I got the basic materials that I was just, was kind of stuck in the mud on until I got that sorted out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, look
Hear
forward to
from
seeing
Charlie.
you. Look forward to seeing you online. Look forward to seeing you in Newport. Look forward to seeing you in San Diego in November, Mark.
Thank you. Yes. We're just going to be hanging out all year here.
That's right. Well, I'm going to Italy in September if you want to join me.
I think you might want to, I mean, I gotta be honest with you. If Carol, if you and Jerry are going to Italy and I said to Carol, yeah, you want to go to Italy in September, I don't know what she'd say. She, no, may not be the first answer, but you'd probably like to spend it with your wife, but without me running around.
Look, hope you guys can join us, but if not, I'll see you in
Well,
online. And
unless Jerry makes a formal invitation to Carol, that ain't happening. So,
yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
okay, but I will see you and the things you said. So, are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks for your time. Have a good evening.
Well, no, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet. No.
You can stop recording, though.